Blog Talk Radio.
Well, God bless you. I'm so excited about tonight's broadcast. You're going to be hearing from past meetings and revivals and conferences. And also, I'm going to begin the broadcast with my lovely queen, Katrina, as she invited a guest, Sylvia Browning, and she's going to be ministering. And then after that, we're going to take you further. The number to call to Prophecy Alive is 347-539-5173. This is Roderick Owensby, your host. I want you to know that today is a powerful day, not because of this broadcast, but because of the God in you. Don't you know greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? I'm going to be back after this. Get ready. My Queen Katrina is going to be ministering. This was a broadcast from the past, but I'm telling you, the anointing is very present. She's full of wisdom, and Queen Katrina and her guest, Sylvia Browning. And then after that, we're going to take you further. Listen, sick, regardless of what you're experiencing, call tonight, and I am going to agree with you for a right now miracle. God bless you. I'll be right back. Get ready. Tonight is going to be super powerful. Get ready. I'm going to let you hear my queen, Katrina, and her guest, Sylvia Browning, from a past broadcast. It is powerful as those women begin to share. My queen, Katrina, has some honey that drips from her lips as she expounds on the Word of God. And Sylvia Browning, our good prophetess and friend, is going to bless you, and then I'm going to come back. I sense miracle. People of God, man, woman, boy, girl, shake yourself. Shake yourself. God has great things for you. This is Prophecy Alive.
I need everybody to put your hands together and celebrate the kingdom like never before. We'll move.
We got a testimony today. God used everything we went through to make us who we are. And we're grateful. Come on, say it. God gave me a vision.
God gave me a vision.
Of where I would be.
Of where I would be.
But he didn't show me what I'd go through.
But he didn't show me what I'd go through.
On the journey.
On the journey.
But everything of faith prepared me.
Everything that I faith prepared me.
For what God has for me to do.
For what God has for me to do.
So now that I'm here, I'm going to praise Him.
Now that I'm here, I can praise Him.
For all that I had to go through.
For all that I had to go through.
Come on, say it. What the devil meant for evil.
What the devil meant for evil.
God used to get the glory.
All of the tests and trials.
understood.
Because
what the devil thought would destroy me, God turned it around for my good.
Let's get back to Eden. Live on top of the world.
Yeah, sing it to somebody.
want every one of you to know that my queen, yes, Katrina Owensby.
Praise the Lord. We are getting back to Eden, and we're living on top of the world. I decree that you are the blessed of the Lord. I am Katrina Owensby, wife of Roderick Owensby. Don't look at your past. Don't look at your circumstances. Whose report will you believe? I believe the report of the Lord. There's somebody out there who is looking at your past, and you're saying, I can't do this. I'm not blessed. I'm a failure. Success is only a result of failure. Failure tells us that success is there. Because if you can fail and get back up.
To you, the queen, and to the bishop and the king, oh, you guys are just awesome, awesome in this earth. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here, for you and I to sit here and share the word of the Lord with the people. As before you came on, I was just sharing with the people, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what your situations look like, you just stand because you are the blessed of the Lord. The blessings of the Lord make it rich and added no sorrow. You mean that I won't have some days that I just feel left out or I've done something wrong? No, that means that you're the blessed of the Lord, because he already knew the chastisement of our peace was upon him. He knew some things were going to happen. Amen.
That's so true. Amen, woman of God. That is so true. I just thank the Lord for all the viewers all over the world. Please pay attention to this woman of God and just, you know, stay attentive and have an open mind and an open heart.
We need to be rebuilt.
Yes, yes, we do. Yes, we do. Every day.
He can use you because you've done wrong.
That's good.
Because
that's good.
There's somebody out there who's going to need to know how to get up from doing wrong and start to do right. And it's not a hard thing. His yoke is easy and his burden is light.
It reminds me when you said that, woman of God, about Moses. Moses had committed a murder. He fled. He didn't walk. He fled. Because he had committed a crime that he did not intend to do, but it happened. But he didn't.
Yes.
He was so angry because to see another man to be beaten, you know, and that moved his flesh. So
mm-hmm.
he murdered the soldier, but he fled from the scene and went into a place of desolate because he was ashamed, I feel. Shamed,
mm-hmm.
angry. He did something that he knew that he normally would not have done. And look what God did. Even
mm-hmm.
in his fleeing and him being in a desolated place, God
yes.
revealed himself to him.
Some would say, how can he come out and give us these great commandments and thou shalt not kill when he himself killed?
Mm.
That tells you what God can do.
Yes.
The enemy meant it for bad, but God will use that very thing for his good.
My God, that is so true.
Oh, yeah. Though you a burden and have shackles on your
Roderick Owensby is a prophetic coach to people around the world in business, personal life, marriage, and many other areas. If you would like to contact Roderick for your own personal coaching session, call 317-832-0131. God bless you.
I want everybody to just look up for a second. Look straight up and say, my help cometh from the Lord.
My help cometh from the Lord.
I want you to think about everything that you're facing in your life. I heard a word called rescue. Yeah. Uh-huh. God says he's here to rescue you from you. You might as well clap your hands for the presence. You might as well clap your hands in the presence of the Lord, so baby. Yes. God promised that you may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Lost love, black curses. Return my love to me, curses.
Jesus.
You have women right now, they want a man that they would do anything to find love because they are not willing to do it God's way or prepare themselves so the man of God will find them. But they will not prepare themselves, and God will always send you a mother, father in the spirit to help you prepare for your husband or for your wife.
Jesus.
You say, well, what? How you going to prepare somebody you've been through divorce? Well, you just named one of my credentials.
That's right. Come on now, talk about that.
But these same ignorant, spirited people, not the person, but the spirit, if a drug dealer gets saved, he could tell me because he's been on drugs. Well, hell, I could tell you about marriage and divorce because I've been through it. You see how sick
those
are?
Thank you, God.
Many false preachers use this on television. Save my marriage spells.
Jesus.
A spell to vanish debt. One preacher said, you send money, your debt going to be canceled. There's nowhere in the Bible debts are canceled by giving somebody money.
Lost Hope Radio.
If you plant this seed of $1,000, your wife is coming back. That is a spell.
Yes, it is.
Well, praise God. You know, God wants us to be free from every trap of the enemy. God doesn't want us to be bound by traditions of men. You know, Mark 7:13 talks about the traditions of men. God does not want you bound. I don't care who said it. I don't care who tries to implement it in your life by making you become a slave to a building or a church. I'm for, listen, I ain't got no problem with church, but we need to get out of church and go to the kingdom. If you still stuck in church now, you've been in ministry for 50 years and you still stuck in church, there is a dimension of glory. You know, the church was in the wilderness, and many times if you stay stuck in the church with men and women who want you to have a slave mentality of always needing to be taught, always needing to be prayed for. You know, some people go, I've seen folk do some silly stuff in church, especially silly women. I need the pastor to pray for me because I got a headache. And they use the verse, call for the elders and anoint them. Come on. And let the prayers would raise them up. Well, praise God, if you got a stress headache, you don't need prayer. You need to manage your emotions. Come on in here. We use prayer like a prostitute. Come on, we don't even pay prayer back by seeking God and praying. We don't even give ourselves to prayer. We want prayer to work for us instead of us being one with prayer. You know, Luke 18 and 1 says men ought to always pray and not faint. Get this in your spirit. Now, men ought to always pray. Prayer is something you just ought to do. Prayer is like breathing, and so many people don't look at it like that. But you are healed. You are ready to pray, aren't you? Yes, you are. And you want to know how to pray. You know, there's prayers of deliverance to get rid of these curses. Most of us are not suffering from curses. It's from symptoms of curses and demonic influences. You see, you could be influenced by alcohol and not be an alcoholic. Come on in here. Some people are influenced every Friday. They pick a day of bondage. Come on in here. Don't do anything immodest, but just get drunk and sloppy. And any time you are not in control, if for a better word, of yourself, if something else takes you over, then God forbids that. Listen, we are in a spiritual war. You can look at the news, and many times the news will magnify stuff and just pitch people against people. But we are in a spiritual war. It's going on. And all of us, God's people, we need to understand that we have feelings, and we get involved in our feelings and not in the spirit. See, your feelings will have an effect. Your feelings can produce the wrong emotions. Understand this now. Our feelings can cause us to stray away from the purposes of God. Get this in your spirit. And none of us are immune from the demonic, but that's why we stay in God. We submit to God. We resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from us. We submit to God. We resist the devil, and he will do what? He will flee. It's time out for God's people to run from the devil. It's time for the devil to run from us. Do you understand that? We understand that God's word has been given to us for us to be free. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I was reading that here in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Listen to this. Listen to this. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I'm glad it says sinned. Because so many times religion would get in there, and religion would have you judging other folk that are caught up in a situation that you yourself have been caught up. So this is why the word of God says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned, past tense, present and future. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How long have we been short of God's glory? It's not the will of God that we continually be short of the glory of God. What kind of battle are you facing? Listen, what kind of battle are you facing in your life? Think about it. It may be a battle with yourself. It may be a battle with your spirit. The enemy is all around. The enemy is within. Yes, yes, it's within your flesh. There's help in God's word. There's help in God's word. And so the battle of the mind, we come against those spirits that come to destroy the mind. We bind that demonic spirit that wants to take that mind and twist it and turn it every way. We bind it in Jesus' name. Those personal battles that you are experiencing, it may come through people, but once you take your eyes off the person, God will show you the spirit. We need to stop wrestling against flesh and blood. You know, I hear God's people many times talk about haters and haters and haters. Well, we know there are haters in every realm. You can't do good enough for there not to be haters, but get your focus off of those that hate. You understand? Because those that hate really don't hate you. They hate the word of God. And we must understand that that's why Jesus died for us. And this is why we plead the blood of Jesus. You know, one of the most powerful spiritual weapons we have, warfare, that God has given us is the blood of Jesus. You know, I tell people that are believers and I recommend to them, learn how to incorporate when it comes to spiritual warfare, prayers into our daily lives and prayers that will combat the enemy. You know, prayer is like breathing. It's like your natural breath is for your lungs and for your body. You know, and some people just jump into and just begin to scream the blood and never take the time to study the blood of Jesus. It was the atonement. It was that which caused us to be believers and delivered from the powers of darkness. You know, the children of Israel, they were told to put the blood on their doorposts. And that when the death angel would pass, when he would see the blood, death would pass from the blood. And that's because of the death of Jesus. So this is the blood of Jesus that God has given us refuge, deliverance. You know, one of the most and the most powerful prayer that you can say, I can say, and I do, and I know many of you do, is the prayer of the blood of Jesus. You know, first of all, let me explain something. You could pray the blood of Jesus, but it won't accomplish anything unless it is said by a true believer. Now, understand this now. A true believer. You know, somebody else's prayer can be saving your life because you quit believing, but you know it's true. You have to give God your life. You have to give him your mind, your body, and your soul. You don't want to be that person that says, oh, the blood of Jesus, when you get scared, and then when that fear passes, and then you're like a pig to the parlor, you go right back getting full of mud, of sin, of lust, of flesh. So we have this assurance of salvation. It comes through justification. And when you pray, the power of the blood of Jesus, let me tell you something, to get results from the power of the blood of Jesus, and you don't hear much of this anymore, every believer should get their own houses in order. You know, people are walking around trying to get other folk houses in order and not getting their own house in order. So you must fill your house with the presence of God. It is very effective when you, husband, father, mother, get together with your children and just begin to just get all the gut and the blood and the disagreements and unforgiveness and past hurts and past failures. Husband and wife, you got to come together first. And then it trickles down to your children. You know, Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. I have witnessed it on a daily basis, and I still witness the effectiveness of when we begin to enter spiritual warfare and we begin to pray against what the enemy is trying to do. And when we begin to pray, you know, prayer is real. Prayer is not something we just do. Prayer works. It works. So when we pray, we're already moving into that realm of deliverance. Just when you make up your mind to pray, you are automatically, a believer, in the realm of the Spirit. And when we begin to plead the blood, when we begin to plead the blood of Jesus, And many denominations and many religious churches, they believe in pleading the blood of Jesus. But see, what they don't tell you is exactly how to do it, what to plead it on. You know, you say, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. What are you pleading the blood on? They were told in the Old Testament to put the blood over their doorposts, and it will cover all in their houses. I tell people, wherever you move, the house you're in, the job, the car, you must pray the blood of Jesus over that car, over that home, over that job, over your children. That's how we are covered, even as the blood of Jesus covered our sins. When we pray the blood of Jesus, it covers our family. You know, many people nowadays, they want to get quick. They want a prophecy. They want somebody to just get it done. They treat prayer like it's a car wash. You drive in a car wash with your car, and you get it clean, and the wind blows, and then you drive off. And that's what most people want, get delivered from that mindset, because what would happen while you want a get-quick solution, a get-quick microwave miracle, you're not getting the character of prayer by simply praying. Get yourself around people that pray. Now understand this. There's a difference between gossipers and people that pray, because most people, you know this, dear beloved, they hang around soothsayers and gossipers, people who don't really pray. There's been people who get together to pray, and before they pray, they start drinking coffee and talking about, child, did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, well, we'll pray for them. You can't mix gossip and slander with prayer. You can't do it. Pleading the blood of Jesus, there's an order to it. What are you pleading the blood of Jesus on? What to plead it against? And how often you need to do it in order to get the maximum, the most effective protection on what you're praying for over your loved ones. You know, many people haven't been praying over their children, because many grown people are acting like children. You know, so let's get it in order, and let's begin to call on the name of Jesus. We need more prayer against racism. But people can march, you can do all those natural things, because most people are warring against people. But we begin to pray the blood of Jesus. Now, when I say racism, I'm not talking black or white. I'm talking about racism is the spirit of Jezebel. It is a form of control. It is a form of the bands of wickedness in Isaiah 58. See, when you say racism, first thing people think is black and white. Hear me and hear me good. I speak not on that. Yes. Yes. Police that murder children. Yes. Black that kill blacks. You know, all races. You know, the world acts like there's only two races, white and black. And you know why? Those are the extremes of the reality of creation. I teach my son, look at your black skin. It's beautiful. And tell him, my sons and daughters and beyond, tell him the history of it. If other races can love their race, love your own. Charity starts at home. Charity starts at where you are, and then it spreads abroad. The reason love hasn't spread abroad, because we don't have people loving themselves. I'm not talking about anything violent. I'm not like that. Because, see, nowadays, when you love yourself and speak of the love for yourself, then you always have those weak-minded, jelly-backed people in a authority that want to call you a terrorist by simply saying, love your own people. Ooh, oh, my God, I am so afraid of them loving each other. Isn't that sick? Isn't that weak? All men of all races, wake up, grow up. You cannot criticize other people if you're not doing justice yourself. Come on in here. Everybody's taking their brooms and try to talk about the problems of different races. Look in your own. Look at your own Hitlers. Look at your own people who eat people. Look at your own people who commit crime, who hide behind wars. Come on in here. Don't pick one particular race and try to cover all the sins of your race, Fox News. Come on in here. You said, what's wrong with the prophet telling the truth? I don't know what Bible people are reading. Elijah, Samuel, all those great prophets, they dealt with the government. Not only God's people, but with the government. You know, anybody can stand behind a pulpit and look nice and say some smooth words. But you have to deal with the injustices of our day. Well, praise God. I'm praising God because I feel excited. You know what? I'm just happy obeying God. Obeying God. Stay with me. I'll be right back. Think about this, the power that's in the blood of Jesus. Think about it. What is it? You know, there was a price through sin that was against us. Especially you people that have not made up your mind and you have things against people who have. It's like sinners use the excuses, those church folk, as if because a person is a believer that they are. They have wings and a white robe. There's the only difference between a sinner and a believer is the sin is the same. The desires are the same. The only difference is they acknowledge that their sins have been atoned for. Come on, there's a song that used to be sung about a person that gave their life to Christ. They sung a song, I looked at my hands and my hands looked new. I looked at my feet and my feet did too. You know, that just was an emotional thing. But actually, your hands look the same. Your feet look the same. Your hair looked the same. You're not glowing. It's a redemptive work in your heart. To repent means to change your mind. So his blood redeemed us, bought us back. We couldn't pay the price. We couldn't do it. But the blood of Jesus, it paid the price. It redeemed us. You know, 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 18 and 19 says, "For you know that it was not with the perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of the Lamb without blemish." I want to read that to you here because it's very important that we understand what that verse is saying. I'm going to go to it in the King James Version. I want you to see this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Listen to this. It says, "For as much as we know that you were not redeemed, we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers." In other words, my father talked like this. My mother talked like this. So this is how I talk. You know, this is how I talk. And this is how I do. So sin is a tradition. Verse 19 says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who truly, that word verily means truly, was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." See, our faith is in God. That's the difference between the unbeliever and the believer. His or her that is a believer, faith is in God. An unbeliever may say, "I believe God too." Well, you know, have you ever got a credit card that was not activated? You can't go buy anything. You could say, "Hey, it was mailed to me. It has my name on it. Here's my license." But until you activate it, you're not connected to the base of the financial institution that gave you the card. And so it is. A lot of people say, "I'm a believer. I may not go to church." Well, you don't have to go to church to be saved. I don't have a church message. Understand this. But if your faith is not activated, that spiritual faith card, as a metaphor, you see, that you have received has not been activated. Although Jesus died, he rose from the dead. You know, Romans chapter 10. Let me go there. Romans chapter 10. I want to read this to you. Here it is. Romans chapter 10. And beginning at verse 9. Listen to this. Romans 10 and 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, see, he's telling you, you got to open your mouth here, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart. Then you have to believe not with your mouth or your brain. You got to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. You see, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. See, that's why if you're not a believer, if you're practicing sin, you need to confess. Because how could you believe in the resurrection of Jesus and you haven't rose from those things that you know are not right? And then people say, well, God judge me. Well, the Word judges all of us. So verse 10 of Romans 10, for with the heart man believeth, man or woman, that's mankind, unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, your mouth changes. You say, well, you know, I don't have to use my mouth. Well, you know, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. When a person gets married, and I believe in the marriage that's in the Word of God. And they get married, then you say, I do, or I agree. You say, well, what if two deaf people get married? Well, you've got to write it down. And you'd be healed. But there's going to have to be an affirmation to the marriage that seals it. You understand? So this thing, you cannot wiggle out of it. Another thing the blood of Jesus does, it brings us into fellowship with God. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. I want you to see that, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Let me get that for you, because I want to read that to you, the book of Ephesians. Here you are. You know, I have computers and everything else, but I just love turning my page. There's something about that sound. Can't get away from it. Technology is good, but every now and then you got to go back. You know, you got to go back. Okay. So the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, it says here in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. Verse 13, Ephesians, chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. This is the purpose of the power of the blood. What did it bring? It brought us to God. Verse 14, for he is our peace. He is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. See, there was a wall of partition that was between us and God. You know, have you ever been on bad terms with anybody? There's a wall of partition. They have to be torn down through forgiveness. And that's what Jesus did. There was a wall between God and man. It had to be torn down. And the only way that that could have been done is a pure lamb. Romans 5 and 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He brought us peace. And somebody may say, I need some peace. Well, the only way you can get peace is through Jesus. You know, without the blood of Christ, man is a long ways from God. The blood makes peace with God and man. This is what the cross is for. Colossians chapter 1. Let me go there. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 20 with me. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. This is good stuff here. And look at verse 19 first. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Verse 20 of Colossians 1. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. It was his cross. That's why the word said, take up your cross and follow me. Most people are not willing to take up their own cross. They want to take up somebody else's cross. You got to have your own. You got to take your own up. And having made peace, verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him. Listen. I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind. That's the place where we are enemies of God, in our minds, and enemies of ourselves. You know? power in our minds by our, you see, I included myself, our wicked ways or wicked works. Yet now hath he reconciled, he did that for us on the cross. Look what happened here. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh, this man gave his flesh up. Your flesh is the only thing your spirit has on earth. If you didn't have your flesh on, you would be illegal. But your flesh, our flesh made us legal. In the body of his flesh, verse 22, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If, don't just say you can't blame me, I'm unreprovable. Verse 23 says, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled. God wants to ground, he wants to ground us and settle us. But we have to continue in the faith. Some people say faith, they think it's talking about their denomination. No, that's not what faith is. You may be Church of God in Christ, Pentecostal, Assemblies of God, Church of the Nazarene, Seventh-day Advent, Muslim, whatever. That's not your faith. That's not your faith. You say, what is my faith? Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. Believe on Jesus is your faith. Which ye have heard, I'm in verse 23 of Colossians 1, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. The church is his body. His blood cleanses. It cleanses. Not only does the blood of Jesus remove the punishment of sin, it removes the pollution. You know, I don't care what sin you committed, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. His blood gives us, this is powerful, power over the devil. You know, Revelation, I believe it's 12 and 11 says, and they overcame him, who? Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. The devil doesn't want you or I to understand the blood. He knows about it. He knows about the blood. He knows about redemption. This is why he fights so hard. So hard to keep people in bondage. But you be free. You be free tonight. And you are free. Whether you know it or not, you are free. You say, well, I'm suffering from, I got a relationship with the same sex, and I don't feel free. You're still free. You're just doing things to yoke back on. That's why I don't condemn anybody. You know, if you know most people, church in them, just sit around and talk about people, those that are not mature. But you cannot condemn or convert people. Does God love the homosexual? Absolutely, yes. What makes you feel he doesn't love the homosexual and he loves you? And the scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you think a homosexual has come any shorter of the glory of God than you? You that judge? You think you were a little bit closer to the cross than the homosexual? No. Sin is sin. You know, we all are kin in sin. Hello, cousins, nephews, so on, spiritual brothers and sisters. Yeah, we got something in common, all of us, sin. And this is what baffles me, people that don't get along, sinners, and people get a little touch and they get a little shout on, a little dance, or get a little position, and then they get the amnesia. They forget where they come from. They said to Jesus one time, how are you eating with those sinners? You call yourself the Savior? And you're eating with sinners. Come on here. Let's stop judging one another. And let's know that we are one. I'll be right back after this.
How many of you know that God's got something better in store for you? Come on, boy. God has so many great things. Can't you see? Many great
praise God. Listen to this now. You hear people say, I plead the blood. I remember something. My father, who's in heaven, powerful prophet, and my precious mother, who's here with us. My dad was the most funniest preacher, but such a seer prophet. He had gotten a ticket, and he went to court, and the judge the judge asked my father, how do you plead? Now, you would have to know my father to understand this. So Dad looked at the judge, looked around and said, Your Honor, I plead the blood. And everybody was like, what? Did he kill somebody? He said, I plead the blood of Jesus. So the judge attempted to have a dialogue with my father, which was quite interesting. A man full of love and compassion. Well, what happened as a result of my father's unorthodox ways, and I've been blessed with those too, the judge threw the ticket out and said, Prophet Owens, be careful. Now, when it comes to the blood of Jesus, you know, we plead the blood. I grew up in church and the mothers plead the blood of Jesus and protected us young ones. My mother, my grandmother, my father. When I'm talking about the blood of Jesus, I want you to understand this. I'm not talking about begging God. So many people just, please, God, please do this. Please, no. Pleading the blood of Jesus should not be considered as something of desperation. You get spiritually frustrated, you know. And when you in that type of mental posture where you feel like you have to beg God, my sons and daughters don't have to beg me for anything. One scripture said, if you being evil, it's all how you look at God that will make you effective or non-effective. One scripture said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask for it? And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is the transfer of wealth. Because look at people that are wealthy. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're going to have injustice toward people. Look at corporate America. You can't tell me they're filled with the Holy Spirit. If you are, you invited to talk to me, because how can you get many of them get hundreds and hundreds of bonuses and interest while people who are actually making the products are actually treated like slaves compared to what those who are in an authority get? Understand this. So begging is out when I'm talking about the blood of Jesus. So we don't beg God to do what he's already provided. God has not called us to come begging before him. A lot of people have in their minds through false teaching that Jesus is somehow begging God. Don't kill him. Don't do this. And yet people are being killed. Show no mercy. That's not the position of our high priest. No. Intercession is not begging. Intercession is the highest priestly office. Now, not the pastor, not the apostle, not the prophet, not the evangelist, the people, you know, not the teacher and the people that in your local churches that you rally around as though they were some great. You know, pastors nowadays, they have a head honcho mentality. They may say they recognize the fivefold ministry, but they really don't. And if you watch them, they would try to silence anyone that is a spiritual threat to them. Come on. That's like having a football team and you say, well, only the quarterback is going to play. That's silly. You need the fullback. You need the tail end. You need those to catch the ball, someone to hike it. You need the offensive line or defensive line. It's a whole bunch of stuff. You got to have a kicker. You understand? But the local churches have been, that pastor gift has been exalted. It's not about rank. Ephesians 2 and 20, the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus is apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And Ephesians 4:11 says he gave some. I often say when the vision of Christ, and I had that great encounter that totally changed my life. How could you pastor a church and not look at how Jesus set it up? The pastors sit in their chair as though they are head honchos. And become very selfish if they're not careful. So pleading the blood goes into areas. Like your blood in your body, it nourishes the organs in the church. Jesus is Lord of the church. And if he's Lord of your local assembly, then it's going to have the blueprint of the Lord. I love you so much. Now, you know, many of us, we were raised up in religious environments where we heard these words. Father God, we come to you under the blood of Jesus. Or Lord, we cover this brother, sister with the blood of Jesus. And even before you really understood what they were saying, we believe in the power of the blood of Jesus. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that the cross was the instrument, do you hear me, of this global redemption. Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And church is not talking about a building, it's talking about you. You take the letter U out of the word church, you can't even pronounce church because you are the church. Pleading the blood of Jesus is not some superstitious talk or some magical formula of words. It is a spiritual dynamic, ladies and gentlemen. It is a spiritual dynamic that God has given us. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ is greater than both the energy of even our own selves, of humanity. You understand the power that saves is also the power that releases, delivers, neutralizes the totality of the enterprise of hell itself. The power of the blood of Jesus, it weakens the flesh and causes the flesh to submit to God. It'll work. The power of the blood of Jesus in any situation. Try it. Whatever you're facing in your home, whatever you're facing on your job, whatever you're facing in your physical body, emotional body, however you were raised, some of you carrying unforgiveness towards your parents, some of you been molested, some of you been raped, some of you been what they call church hurt. The blood of Jesus. That which that passes over. You know, most of us, if they got anything to do with the church, we know the story of the Israelites and their deliverance from the last plague of Egypt, in which the firstborn of every family was doomed to die. The Israelites, they were given instructions by God to place the blood of the lamb, of a lamb, on their doorposts and lintels, so that the plague of God's judgment would pass their houses. Now, the blood, you go read Exodus 12 and 13 and 14. Now, the blood shall be a sign, it says, for you on your houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You know, God's people are funny. We make songs out of every scripture. But you have to be careful of that because you lose the meaning of it. There's nothing wrong with it. But let it be with the Spirit. You know, I never forget that came out with a song. It came out, Do Not Pass Me By. All the church wore it out. Every time you go into a local church, do not pass me by. Why on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. And it became a cliche because every church you went to at that time, they were singing that song. But we can sing a song without the revelation of it. He said, the blood shall be a sign. Listen to this. Exodus 12, 13. The blood shall be a sign to you on your houses. Look at your bodies. The blood is a sign on our houses that death had passed over us. That means that healing and miracles should be evident. That means we should be living longer. You know, people are living longer, way past hundreds. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Pass over us, God, until we walk in such a supernatural, a divine health. Not just through eating right and exercising, but our spiritual exercises. Let us exercise love. Let us exercise peace. Let us exercise justice. Let us exercise compassion. And we thank you for the blood. We thank you for protection, even over our president, even over those that are in an authority. We plead the blood over every family. And I decree, and we plead the blood over every wife. Strengthen even my queen. Strengthen her spirit. Strengthen her spirit. Strengthen her soul. Strengthen her body. She's not behind the scene. She's an anointed thinker, an anointed writer, an anointed voice of God. Strengthen her. Give her that peace that passes all understanding. Go back to when my queen was a little girl. I'm holding right now my queen's baby picture. Our children's baby picture. Our son's baby picture. I'm speaking prophetically to somebody. You've been looking for God to do something in your family. You've been looking for God to do something in your family that's never been done. You've been experiencing generations of hate and unforgiveness and bickery and argument and strife and malice and judgment, condemnation and fear and torment. God said right now, run and grab your family picture. And I'm prophesying right now and over millions of families. Do it now. You get in a hurry to get a sandwich. Get in a hurry. Grab that picture. Somebody sitting right down in your couch and you're able to reach your right hand over and grab your portrait of your family. And I decree the blood of Jesus over your husband, over the wife, over grandmothers and grandfathers, and I plead the blood of Jesus for every seed that came from your womb and the womb that you came from. And I decree, male and female, that the blood of Jesus would begin to be evident in every family, all races of people. I plead the blood of Jesus over, and I want you to hear what I'm about to say because you're going to see it. It's going to be evident over the news. I plead the blood over those with their mouth and they will lie. Those that use an incident to talk about other races and not their own division and get rich off of it because they know there are people filled with silly hate. I plead the blood of Jesus that when the newswoman, the newsman gets ready to tell a lie or fabrication or a stretched lie, tie up their tongues. You're going to see people on the news, their tongues going to get tied because they have made a career out of lying from the pulpit to the White House. And I plead the blood of Jesus over every police department, over those that have a godly heart, that are seeing things that happen, that they would have a prayer. I pray that prayer would break out among the police departments. Even the higher up orders. I decree right now that salvation would flood like a flood, like a hurricane of God's love would flow in. Your children, your husband, your wives. Deliverance is here. I can feel it. I have a caller, 7037. I'm coming to you now, 7037. God bless you.
God bless you. Good evening, man of God. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you, woman of God?
Well, I got a real heaviness, and I'm really enjoying what you're speaking about.
I've got
some decisions to make. Okay. No, I have some decisions to make, and I just need prayer. I know that I need to move forward in some things, and I have not been, but this is kind of a rough one for me. So,
yes, it is.
I just need prayer tonight. Yes,
Father, I come into agreement with this woman of God and her honesty and her transparency. And God, I touch and agree, oh God, with the destiny that's over her life. And Lord, we decree right now together as covenant people that the blood of Jesus would overturn. And Lord, I sense by the Spirit there's some things that's rightfully hers, but the enemy has attempted to make them hostage, has taken what God has given hostage. It is therefore in the name of Jesus loose. Right now, shake that tree, shake that mind, shake that will, shake that emotion. Hey, boo, I see God. Woman of God, I see, ooh, Jesus, I see God shaking somebody. I see God, watch this, shaking somebody and something. There is a thing that the enemy has tried to hide, but you see it. You have discernment. And the Lord, ooh, Jesus, I see that thing coming out from a corner. I see this little black midget-like spirit with big eyes. The eyes are almost as big as the body. And I decree right now as I see this spirit, I cast you out. I cast you out. We cast you out in the name of Jesus. And there are some younger ones that have fear because sometime when I see a tree being rooted up, hear me close, in my seer's eye, I see a tree with all of the big roots being lifted up.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank
and the
you,
Lord
Jesus.
Said that he is delivering your entire tree. I never heard this before. I'm delivering your entire tree. You know what? Your ministry is a ministry of deliverance.
Yes, it is. And healing. Yes, sir.
It's healing and deliverance. And the Lord said, wholeness. So we decree miracles right now.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Glory to your name. Glory.
Can I tell you something? God is slaying that spirit of jealousy. I saw it just now.
Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Thank
I saw that spirit of jealousy
Lord.
Like a sword cut the head off. Jesus' name.
Bless you, God.
Bless
Hallelujah.
You.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to ask you to contact me. You know how. Contact me.
Yes, sir.
I got something I need to share with you.
And I was getting ready to tell you. I need to call you.
Do you have my number?
Yes, sir, I do.
I felt that.
I got it.
Call me.
I will.
Love you.
Thank you. God bless you. Love you, too. Bye.
Bye. Hallelujah.
Here we go.
Roderick Owensby is a prophetic coach to people around the world in business, personal life, marriage, and many other areas. If you would like to contact Roderick for your own personal coaching session, call 317-832-0131. God bless you. Praise the Lord. If you would like to invest in this ministry, go to www.facebook.com/prophecyalivebroadcast or www.facebook.com/TGM Project. There is a donation button, which is a secure link through PayPal. God bless you.
Of God belongs to you. It belongs to you. You are more wealthy than you know. You know, the scripture says, and I was reading here in Philippians 4, and beginning at verse 10, let's start at verse 8, this famous verse, Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, you know, you look at people now, they don't, many of them are not interested on things that are true. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, you not only need true things, but honest. You know, you can speak the truth without being honest. Get this now. You can speak the truth without being honest. So Philippians 4 and 8, finally, brothers, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. You see, you need truth, you need honesty, and just, fair. Try that on the newscast. You understand? Because money is made when you add a little bit to it. You understand? But 2016 is going to be a year of lies are going to be exposed. Lies that's been around for hundreds and thousands of years are going to be exposed. So I'm telling all liars, repent. So whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Without this verse, this prescription, you can be very stressful. You know, what gives you a headache? Because you're focusing on the lies. Don't focus on the lies. Verse 9, Philippians 4, 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. That's a strong statement. All of us should live our lives until to the point we can say that. What you see me do, do. Not this, do as I say, not as I do. That's a bunch of crap. Verse 10. I love you people. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and that now at the last your care of me had flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. See, when you're content, it brings you into a place of solitude. It brings you into a place where you totally surrender under God's Jehovah Jireh protection and care. Some of you are saying, why am I not blessed? You're not content enough. You have to be content with what state you're in. You can't pray yourself out of contentment. Come on here. I'm trying to get you some help now. Be content. If you only make $10,000 a year, or you only make $1,000 a year, I dare you to be content and begin to just believe God and draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Listen to this. Verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So you can, and see, we take this verse and we use it for prosperity preaching. And I shouldn't even say we, because God has not given me that spirit. But many use this for prosperity preaching. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ with which strengthened me. Okay, he was not talking about what many preachers want you to feel that this apostle was talking about. He's saying, I can do this. I can be content. I can abound and I can abase. See, this is not a prosperity verse. You don't believe in prosperity? You'd be surprised. But not the prosperity teaching. That's not how Jesus taught prosperity. Do you believe in prospering? Of course. I'm a billionaire. You understand? But not by tricking people. Not by getting people excited about a fleshly prophetic word. I won't do it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Verse 14, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with me. He said, you sacrificed for me. You blessed me. Verse 15, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. He said, I only had you all to support me. I know how that is. Yes, I have support. I have people that hear God and they seed. You know, because see, the seed is not the money. It's the word of God. Anybody that teaches you that money is a seed, they are deceiving you. I'm sowing seeds of the word of God. Now, you can communicate with me and hear God on my behalf, but that's on you. It's not my job to manipulate you spiritually. You understand? And I won't do it. And yet I'm rich. It's a communication. That's why the scripture says communicate with him that teach you. That's talking about your finances. Watch this now. God wants us to be delivered from false teaching. And many of God's people are such good and loving people, but they have been taught wrong. They've been taught wrong about tithing, church offerings. That's why it's not good for someone may say, well, I want to start a church. Well, you can't start one. Jesus already did that. But make sure that the anointing and the love for people is there, or you'll get frustrated. And you don't want to be frustrated teaching God's people. Well, I thank God for you. This is my time that I have. I release what God has put in my spirit for you. I love every one of you, my Queen Katrina and I. We bless God for you, and we thank God for what he's doing on this Tuesday night. And this is a powerful 2016 that's coming. You don't need a resolution. You need a resolve that you're going to follow on to know the Lord. God bless you in business, bless your prosperity, and may your love grow quicker than your money. Praise God. I prophesy some things during this year God has given me. There's going to be so many new millionaires, unheard of. There's going to be so many overseas opportunities. And just get yourself ready. And there's going to be something stronger than a revival. There's going to be a resurrection that break out. And there's going to be such a harvest of souls like you've never seen. And the enemy is going to cut up. But, you know, God has said in his word, the more sin abound, the more grace abound. 2016 will be a year of extreme grace, powerful supernatural grace. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you and God keep you. And there's a great move in the sea. Remember this prophetic word. It comes before my eyes now. There's going to be a great miracle with the seas in Jesus' name. Fasting and praying will be, 2016 will be a year of much consecration. So get ready. And also a year of fulfilled prophecies, even personal prophecies. Bless you and love you. And I mean that. Ha ha. Yes, I do. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. If you would like to invest in this ministry, go to www.facebook.com/prophecyalivebroadcast or www.facebook.com/TGM Project. There is a donation button, which is a secure link through PayPal. God bless you.